You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Dak Prescott led the Cowboys to his first career playoff win Saturday against the Seahawks. He finished with a touchdown pass and interception, but he also added a key run for a first down late in the fourth quarter that set up his own touchdown run. After the game, Ezekiel Elliott said Dak played like a, quote, grown-ass man. Shannon, the interview was incredible. I love the energy. You could just feel it. Yeah. All right, what grade would you give Dak for the performance? And I want an honest grade, Shannon.
Honest, Shannon. Come on, be objective for once undisputed life.
Okay. Going back and forth about this, stayed up late at night. I gave him a B minus.
That's pretty good.
Pretty honest.
Sharp.
I couldn't give him an A because he turned the ball over.
Okay, fair.
So let's throw that out. He turned the ball over in the red zone in the fourth quarter when they're up by three. Maybe that would have been the nail in the coffin there, Skip. But he gave Seattle life. I felt early on he was off target on some throws. And again, he's dinking and dunking the ball, Skip. 6.8 yards attempt. Only 10 of his 19 throws. Only 10 of 19 travel beyond 5 yards. What am I going to do with that, Skip? What am I supposed to do with that? Again, dinking and dunking.
My turn?
No.
I'll go. Are you asking me or asking her?
No. I ask you. I'm looking at you. I ain't asked Jenny anything.
For help?
No, I'm not asking Jenny. I did not ask for Jenny.
Okay.
I'm talking to you.
Okay.
But anyway.
You're asking me questions I cannot answer.
You can answer. You just know you choose not to. But anyway, stop interrupting me. Only four of his
That's funny.
Only four of his throws were over 15 yards. He was 1 for 4 with an interception. That's not very good. But I will give him kudos, Skip, on basically a throwaway down. On 3rd and 14, we're going to run the quarterback draw. And he went and got 16 yards. That was huge. Now, notice they put the ball in his hands. No, they put the ball in his legs. You see what he did there, Jenny? Like on third and five, you think they run a quarterback draw with Tom Brady? On 3rd and 5, they run a quarterback draw with Drew Brees? That's none of my business, Skip Bayless. Yes. I gave him a B minus, and now leave me alone before I change my mind and give him a C.
You want to go C?
No.
I'll let you go C.
I gave him a B minus. Yeah. I gave him a B minus because that was huge. First playoff win. Had he not turned the football over, even against the one only one throw completion over 15 yards, a bunch of his throws were dinking and dunking. Had he not turned the ball over, I would have given him an A.
So, Jenny can't help you on this one because now it's my turn. Thank you very much.
We'll
I'm going to grade Dak Prescott with extreme objectivity this time, but I always do. Dak Prescott gets an A for
Man,
that.
Stop
he gets
it.
An A because that was, Solid you just A. said it, you just said it. He won a home playoff game by outplaying a quarterback you said he could not outplay. The whole thrust of my prediction on Friday was Dak Prescott will outplay Russell Wilson. And the numbers say he got outplayed.
That ain't what the numbers say. Numbers don't say that.
The QBR says 74-70 in favor of Dak Prescott.
Quarterback rating says Russell Wilson was 105.9 and Dak Prescott was 83.6.
See, this is what I love about QBR because it takes into account everything you do with your arm and your legs. Is it legal for the quarterback to run with the football?
No!
I don't know. Last time I checked, it was legal that the quarterback has the ability to actually cross the line of scrimmage with the ball under his arm running it. And it counts. It counts.
But when I use that,
you can sneak it into the end zone, and it counts.
Well, then why do you subtract against Aaron Rodgers when I use that argument? He has better legs than Tom Brady. Mm. You said Tom Brady just throw the ball because he's so good at it.
I know, but Tom Brady is such a great thrower of the football. He doesn't need his legs.
Oh, so are you trying? Are you saying Dak Prescott's not a great thrower of the football?
I've said that all along. Oh, he's not a great thrower, but he's. He's
but
a
you
really,
gave him an A.
He's a good thrower.
He's not a
great throw. He deserves an A because who made the two key plays of the whole football game? You can argue of the whole Cowboys season. He did in the red zone where they've been stymied again and again, mm-hmm. where they have been psychologically just strapped, where they can't figure out how to get in the end zone. He said, I'm going to do it. Give it to me. And I just showed you a couple of topics ago. He ran through the entire Seattle defense twice.
Ain't nobody touch him. One guy touched him.
I don't know what it was, but it's like we don't want any part of that.
Okay, you said he made the two throw. He made the two key plays. Mm-hmm. But what about the play that he didn't make in the red zone?
Mm-hmm.
That interception.
I'm glad you brought that up because I do not fault Dak Prescott for this interception.
Fault?
Well, can we look at the interception again? Because he, unfortunately, this is a little bit of a trick play. It's Noah Brown sort of fakes like he's going to block, and then he goes. This is a good throw that has to be caught by a receiver who is 6 feet, 2 inches tall and 225 pounds out of the Ohio State. And I can't remember if Jenny Taft was there that night, but if we go back two college seasons ago, the first time the Ohio State played the University of Oklahoma, we're going back, it's three full football seasons. It was in Norman, Oklahoma on a Saturday night, second week of the year, and Noah Brown destroyed my Sooners. He got four touchdown passes from JT Barrett,
yep.
And that elevated him to get drafted in the seventh round by the Dallas Cowboys because he is not a burner. But he is 6'2", and he can get up for jump balls, and you have got to make this play. Hey, listen, K.J. Wright played the heck out of this play. He did not buy it.
Yep.
You know, it's a fake block and then try to escape, mm-hmm. and he was all over it. And K.J. Wright is 6 feet, 4 inches tall. But if Noah Brown has any salt in his body, he's just got to go
up. Why you throw it at Noah Brown?
I don't know. I guess thought you'd trick him because they aren't looking for 85.
What about old Barwin?
Hmm? What about
Jarwin.
Shannon Jarwin.
Yeah. What happened to him?
He caught a couple balls in the game.
He should have run that.
He caught them back-to-back. Well, he probably couldn't have faked them out because they would have been looking for him.
Oh, they're looking for him. He's a touchdown maker.
He's Hall of Fame now.
Oh, now he's a touchdown maker. So everybody.
He's a touchdown maker. So they probably, you know what? They probably doubled Blake Jarwin on that play. I'm just assuming. But Noah Brown has to go up and fight for the football because K.J. Wright just took it away from him. Yeah. It's not a bad throw. It's on target.
And now it wasn't behind him, back shoulder.
It's a touch late, just a touch.
It's got to be out here.
Okay, but the point is, you got to make that play. You got to make that catch. You're Noah Brown. You're there for that kind of pass. Right. And he didn't make the play. And then Noah Brown had a terrible penalty late in the game. I don't know what he's doing when he didn't get set, but whatever. So we look at 22 of 33 for 226, a touchdown and the interception. But that touchdown throw, he had just missed the fade throw to Michael Gallup, and he went right back to him, and it was sweet, man. He dropped it right down the chimney.
He tried to do like Aaron Rodgers did them last year. Remember Aaron Rodgers? Mm-hmm. He missed Devontae. Yeah, and he went right back to him again.
Unfortunately, that was against my team.
Yeah. I didn't know. I thought I saw that somewhere.
That was against my miniature defensive back, but that's okay. That's okay. So the point is, Dak Prescott played to me the best overall game of the season against a quarterback who is highly capable.
I thought you said that was Jacksonville.
Huh?
I thought you said he played his best against Jacksonville.
Well, you told me Jacksonville was dead in the water at that point.
Oh, they were. Yeah.
But that was in the first half. They just went.
What about in Philly? You told me he played his best in Philly.
No, I think, the stakes, are these not high stakes on Saturday night?
So,
by the way, when you talk about Dink and Dak, so Dak Prescott finished 19th in the NFL in the regular season in yards per attempt.
19th. Is that good? That's average, right?
Okay. After him came, below him came Cam Newton and Andrew Luck. You love Andrew Luck. Yeah. So Andrew Luck is actually a dink and dunker.
No, Skip.
Yeah.
If you take away the first month of the season when he was checked down Charlie,
yep.
I give you that. Mm. But since then, what about those numbers when he had eight straight games?
I'm glad you brought that up because let's look at what happened in the two Saturday playoff games, both in Texas, one in Houston, one in Dallas. In the first one in Houston, Texas, Andrew Luck had two long completions of 38 yards to T.Y. Hilton, and then 21 yards. So he had 38 and 21. Those were his two long completions of that whole game. Mm-hmm. Dak Prescott's two long completions were 34 yards and 27 yards, both to Amari Cooper. Mm-hmm. So if I add up the two longest completions by both quarterbacks, Andrew Luck's two added up to 59 yards. Dak's added up to 61 yards. So Dak actually had two-plus yards on Andrew Luck on long completions. So I don't know. It still looks like Andrew Luck is dinking and dacking to me.
Well, I'm looking at it like sure this. Does. Okay, Dak was 22 of 33 for 226. Mm-hmm. Andrew Luck was 19 of 32 for 222. Mm. Two touchdowns. Mm.
Interesting. Interesting.
I mean, my guy, old Andrew, Captain Andrew, will finish second in the MVP balloting.
Well, you can have that because I want my guy. But I'm going to be rooting like crazy for your guy, Andrew Luck, because your bigger guy, my homeboy, just be in trouble because Andrew Luck's got the best offensive line in football and the best running back.
I know what you're trying to do, Skip.
I don't know.
What he's trying to do, Jenny, what he wants to have happen is that he wants Indy to upset Kansas City. Mm. The Patriots win, so now they get Indy to come in the fight. I see y'all through those.
You know what? Shannon Sharp is actually starting to figure out how this works. It took 2.5 years.
It ain't going
to
happen.
You're starting to figure it out.
It ain't.
I don't know. Andrew Luck's got it going, man. I love Andrew Luck.
Hold on. Yeah. So you just discount the Chargers, huh?
Chargers? Yeah. I mean, that's a gimme.
Oh, you know, now you know, A. Lynn, that you know they watch the show, right?
Mm-hmm. Good.
Okay.
Oh, good.
Hello, Anthony.
Okay, okay.
We're going to talk about the Chargers next.
And good luck and condolences.
No.
You and Gus Johnson. No
mercy. Hey guys, Jenny Taft here with a quick word from ZipRecruiter. You know what's smart? Figuring out who you need to hire to take your business to the next level in 2019. You know what else is smart? Starting the new year off strong by going to ZipRecruiter.com/undisputed to hire the right people. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates for you. Its powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes to identify people with the right skills, education, and experience, and actively invites them to apply to your job so you get qualified candidates fast. That's why ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the U.S. This rating comes from hiring sites on Trustpilot with over 1,000 reviews. And right now, Undisputed listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/undisputed. If you love this show, show your support to it and ZipRecruiter by going to ZipRecruiter.com/UNDISPUTED. That's ZipRecruiter.com/undisputed. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Now, back to the show. No mercy.
The Eagles advanced to the next round of the playoffs yesterday after Cody Parkey missed a field goal in the final seconds. Now, they'll have to go to New Orleans where they were blown out by 41 points back in November. But there's one big difference. Carson Wentz was the quarterback then, and he was picked off three times. Well, Nick Foles is the QB now, and he's won his last four playoff starts. We're joined by FS1 NFL analyst D'Angelo Hall. Good to have you back.
Good morning.
Good to be back.
D'Angelo, all right, what shot do you give the Eagles against the Saints?
Well, I would normally say zero in that place, but it's something about Nick Foles, man.
Thank you.
It is something about Nick Foles, and I don't want to bat a hype. My cousin's a big Eagles fan. And I tell a story all the time how I gave away the Super Bowl tickets last year because Carson Wentz got hurt, and I said there's no way they'll make it, and they made it. And so he was out of Super Bowl tickets.
No way.
But, yeah, man, it's something about Nick Foles and what he's been doing this season, especially when he got in. Gosh, I mean, I give him probably a slim chance because it's crazy to play in that place. It is absolutely crazy. But
did you ever win a game there? You remember? Doubtful.
Yes, I have. Mm-hmm. I have. Okay. But not a playoff game, not a night game, not a prime time game.
Because
that atmosphere just gets one of the craziest stadiums I've ever been in. Mm-hmm. But this Eagles team is playing very, very well. This defense, you think about how banged up their secondary is, but that front still able to get pressure and make those DBs' jobs easier. Mm-hmm. And they're making plays. Like, I'm watching dudes who weren't even supposed to be on the field mm-hmm. making plays against number one receivers. And so, whenever I sit back and watch this Eagles team, it's just some magic that's going on with Nick Foles right now that gives me the just gives me the belief that they got a chance, man. Because when you believe, you can do anything. Yeah.
And that's what they do. They believe in Nick Foles. I give them a small chance also. I don't think it'll be a blowout. It's not going to be 48-7. I would be shocked if it's a score that lopsided again. The Eagles' defense, this is not the same Eagles' defense that went down there probably 6-7 weeks ago and gave up 48 points. They've been in playoff mode for about a month. Since they lost that game to the Cowboys, they knew they had to win out. And they have to have some good fortunes or some misfortunes from someone else. But I still think they're vulnerable in the back end. I thought Trubisky, although he didn't play bad, I thought he missed some throws that I don't believe Drew Brees will miss. The thing that concerns me about the Saints is that somehow teams always seem to find Eli Apple. So whomever he's guarding, is somehow the ball finds that receiver.
And he's not as bad as he looks.
Yeah, he is.
He's actually – no, Shannon, I'm sitting here watching the dude. He's in good position a lot of times. Yeah. Like, I'm watching Julio Jones. I mean, he's right there. It's like guys are just making plays.
He, what my grandpa used to say, he a blind dog in a meat house. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, he can smell all the meat that's all around him, but he can't see nothing.
He ain't made a play.
So, yeah, he right there in position, but he ain't making not one play on the ball.
And I know. Cornerbacks can, you know this better than anybody, you can lose your confidence.
And he looks like, he doesn't have that confidence
that he plays with. You can't find the ball anymore. Yeah. Right.
And so I'm not overly concerned that you look at the Saints, Skip, and they went through this, and I hate saying they're a correlation, but the year they won the Super Bowl, they had a swoon, and it just so happened, you look back at it, they played Tampa, they played Dallas, they played Carolina, they lost, and they won, and they lost, and blah, 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 all these things. But I just believe that they'll get back. Sean Payton has a week off to prepare and get this team ready to go. This is what last year was about because they felt that they had unfinished business. They feel they were supposed to be heading on a plane, leaving Minnesota, going to Philly. So they feel this matchup is 1 year too late. So they want to rectify what they feel they could have because Alvin Kamara said, man, we'd have beat the brakes off them. That's not what he said, but he's, I'm paraphrasing. Yeah. That they would have beaten Philly, and they would have gone to the Super Bowl. So now they get a chance. I believe the game will be a lot closer, Skip. I believe, but there is a small chance. Because once you get into this one game, and in one game, anything can happen. But I say there's a 10% chance they win in New Orleans.
So what would happen if the Bears had opted that final regular season game against Minnesota just to mail it in? Just rest on your laurels.
They wouldn't be.
Guess what? There'd be no Eagles to deal with, right?
Yeah.
Crazy.
It's crazy. Things happen at the end of years where everything turns on its head, and all of a sudden the football gods decree that this team is going to do this.
Right.
And all of a sudden, St. Nick has got it going again. And we keep bringing this up, but I'm going to bring it up one more time. Chris Long created a shrine in his locker to St. Nick, and Fletcher Cox participated in it, and it showed you what that locker room thinks of him. They believe in him, and it's weird because his body language doesn't scream leader or alpha dog or he doesn't have the big, bad body language of a franchise quarterback. But I got to tell you, when it's time to make plays and make throws, he somehow reaches back and gets a little extra velocity. Like, sometimes I think he has a sub-average arm. And then all of a sudden, he made a couple of throws. That one to Alshon on 3rd and 15, he had some mustard on the ball.
Now, Skip, do you remember early in the season when Nick Foles was a starter and guys were
struggled.
Oh, well, we can't wait to get Carson back. Carson just has a little more energy. And now you get Nick Foles, and they're like, you know, well, we want Nick, you know, we're sad Carson's hurt, but you know Nick's going to bring that calming force that we need. And so it's kind of like, you know, which one really works for them. But if Nick Foles gets this team to the Super Bowl, what offseason will they have in Philly?
I don't know. I'm going to say this
when
one more time.
Now
I told this
lead.
Man this because he loves Carson Wentz. And I respect Carson Wentz's ability in a vacuum. Stronger arm than Nick Foles, better
more
mobility
athletic.
When he's healthy. Just a bigger, more strappy. He has more physicality. Nick Foles is 6'6", but he's willowy, and he doesn't have any physicality to him. But when it's time to play, time to operate as a quarterback in this offense, Nick Foles is just better than Carson Wentz. He just is. I just see it. I see the plays made.
He is. And Nick Foles is how old? I mean,
Nick Foles can't be more than 29, 32. 30.
Yeah. And so I'm thinking the way NFL quarterbacks are playing till they're 40, It ain't a conversation I want to have as a general manager, but somebody's going to have this conversation like, hey, look, if Nick Foles gets us back to the promised land, is it worth saying, hey, Carson, you got a couple years left on your deal. Let's get something major for him.
I am giving St. Nick a better shot at New Orleans than you two are. Because if I look at, on paper, these two football teams, I think it's pretty close between these two.
They got a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Huh?
They got a Hall of Fame quarterback.
In that building, he is virtually, well, he's never lost where he's paid.
I mean, his gold jacket is hanging up with Shane.
I got that. But to your point about what happened when it was 48-7 at midseason, that was when they were flying the highest. And Carson Wentz is the quarterback, and he goes in there and throws for 156 yards and three interceptions. Yep. No touchdowns, three interceptions. They got wiped out. The yards were 546 for New Orleans to 196 for Philly. And the rush yards were 173 to 58. They got blown off that carpet. It was over.
That was
like
the
that.
Difference, is that you can't stop that
but,
run.
But and let me tell you something. With the Saints, it's not going to be trying to run the ball down the Eagles' throats. Mm-hmm. Like, the Eagles faced some teams down the stretch that kind of played into their hands.
They did.
Especially you think about the Chicago team. The Chicago team didn't want to sit back and throw it all over the yard. Mm-hmm. They wanted to pound that running game at you, let Trubisky get out the pocket, you know, use his athleticism to make some plays. New Orleans is going to throw that ball all over the yard. All over the yard.
Okay.
And when we're talking about this struggling secondary, Drew's going to get that ball out of his hands and not give Fletcher Cox and Michael Bennett the chance to even rush him.
When was the last time Drew Brees looked like the Drew Brees we saw for the first
Pride
nine
of Dallas.
Games? Dallas.
Yeah, probably.
Dallas did a number on them psychologically. Mm-hmm. It was 13-10, obviously, at Jerry World, and they never quite got it back. They went to Tampa, and they kind of slugged it out with them, and then they pulled away 28-14 on a blocked punt. Remember that?
Yep.
Well, and then they went to Carolina and won 12-9, and then they played pretty well against Pittsburgh. Boy, it was dicey. It could have gone either way. And then they just got to mail it in against Carolina. So they really haven't played that Drew Brees high-flying New Orleans football since pre-Dallas. It's been a long time. They lost their way at the end of the year. So, again, Philly found its way, and it's going to find its way down to New Orleans, and it just wouldn't shock me at all if Nick Foles pulls this off.
It would shock me just because I just think the Saints are just a more superior team than Philly is. I think the only thing that has me like, man, Philly has a chance is because of that Nick Foles element that you just, like, you don't know what to expect.
And just remember, they are protecting him at a high level because they did a really good
job.
Peters is probably going to go to the Hall of Fame. Lane Johnson is a former All-Pro Pro Bowl player. Barrett Brooks is a current
Pro Bowl. Barrett Brooks is a Pro Bowl player.
Yeah, All-Pro player. So, Kelsey is an All-Pro.
Kelsey's
so it's
all
not
pro.
Like, they make it seem like they got some walk-ons off his line. I mean, they got a very good.
On paper, that could be as good as there is, right?
And they're finally starting to play well together.
Okay.
That's the thing. If you look at the teams that's in the playoffs, for the most part, all of them got really good offensive lines. Yeah. You look at Indy. You look at Kansas City.
Okay.
You look at New Orleans. You look at Philly. The teams that are here, they got good offensive lines now. They protect.
Think about this. Alshon, Aguilar, Golden Tate, Zach Ertz. That's pretty good, man.
It's some firepower, right? It's a lot.
Now, they don't run the ball very well. They couldn't run a lick yesterday, but it didn't seem to matter.
Well, they better find some answers to Michael Thomas because he's going to get like 100 targets.
Okay, we've been saying all year, it's sort of him or bust, right?
Kamara out the backfield, too. They got some ways, you know, and that New Orleans offense, they don't really care who the guy is besides Michael Thomas, but they'll throw all these other guys in and run on different routes. And, you know, Ted Ginn's back, the speed guy.
Oh, yeah,
guy,
that's the thing.
Smith.
Because he has
so
the ability.
Different
they didn't face him last time, Skip. Mm.
Yeah.
So he has the ability to take the top off the coverage, and he's very good in the return game. Mm.
But that's what makes that offense scary. It doesn't matter.
No, stop hoping. No, it would not be nothing.
If the NFC Championship
stop trying to speak it into existence.
Philly and Dallas.
No, it's not going to happen.
Could you see that?
No, I can't see it.
I can't see it.
I can't see nothing.
Losing to give you that.
He doesn't want to think about
we'll
it.
We'll see.
That's all he want to do. You try to be sleep.
You better put your glasses back on because you're going to see something.
You try to speak it into existence.
He got a lot of things
going on. Yeah,
that's
what he
want
to do, speak it into existence.
Speaking it into existence.
The Rams got to lose. The Saints got to lose.
Okay, that's it. You're
and y'all got to win.
Simple. And so does Nick Foles. No mercy.
The Cowboys got big games from their two stars, Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott, on Saturday night. Zeke finished with over 100 yards on the ground, including a touchdown run that put Dallas up by 3. Then late in the fourth, Dak had maybe the biggest play of his career, running up the middle on 3rd and 14 for the first down. Dak and Zeke won their first career playoff game, and Zeke had nothing but praise for his quarterback afterwards. Let's take a listen.
What were you thinking when you saw him take off?
Simple. He's a grown-ass man. That's what it is. That's how he played today, and he led us to this win.
I feel like I'm a grown-ass man just in general. So playing like it or not, I'll take the compliment. We went into this game expecting pretty much to do what we did, knowing we're playing a great Seattle team, knowing the game was going to serve us some ups and some downs. But we expected this. We expected to win. So, I mean, as I said, it was excitement. I mean, we're in a tournament where you win or go home, and we won, and we're going to go on to the next one. So it's about moving forward now.
Okay, Shannon, what was the biggest reason for the Cowboys' win?
I thought it was Zeke being able to run the football the way he did, because what he allows you to do is control the clock and keep the opposing team's offense off the field. If you look at Zeke through his career, when he rushes the ball for 130-plus yards, they're 10-0. He got to 120, so he got to 137. Ooh. And when you can run the ball like they were able to run it, it sets you up for third and short, third and manageable. So now we can hand it to him again, or we can go play pass. And so I thought Zeke running the football, now there's enough credit to go around, but if you ask me, the one thing that the Cowboys must do to continue this role that they're on is Zeke has to continue to run the football. Yeah, their defense did an unbelievable job. They choked off the run. The number one running team had very minimal rush yards. And if you take away that 28-yard run by Penn in the third quarter, the other carries were 23 for 45. The Cowboys said, look, we refuse to let you run the ball in between the tackles. They did a lot of pinch in their end. You see DeMarcus Lawrence get a lot of tackles for losses. Gregory did the same thing. But when Russell kept the ball, he was scot-free around the end. I'm surprised, Skip, they didn't run that more. They didn't put the ball in Russell and say, instead of sitting back here throwing it, maybe you run the ball a little bit more. But I thought Zeke being able to run the football, being able to control the clock, control tempo, I thought was the very key to them winning. Because if you look at Dak, and Skip, you love, Dak, he was this and he was that.
Dak have I spoken?
Not
I haven't said a word yet.
No.
How do you know what I'm going to say?
Because I just know you. Yeah. Dak was 22 of 33, 226, one touchdown, one interception.
Huh.
Okay, but he only attempted 4 throws over 15 yards. Huh. He's 1 for 4. Huh. So it tells me he was doing what? A lot of dinking and dacking. Oh, and just because I know you were going to do this, he averaged 6.8. If he had done that in the regular season, over the course of the season, that would have been 27th in yards per attempt. So I don't want you to get all excited about what you saw. But I just want you to know this before I turn it over to you. It's going to come to an end this weekend.
That's all you got to say? Simple as that?
It was Zeke. I keep telling you, Zeke is how they butter their bread. Zeke is how they eat. And now, let me tell you, my jacket. Because now, it ain't good enough to do this. He started doing it with two hands. He's like beaming. Yeah, he double fisted it. He double fisted it.
When he eats with two hands.
Yeah!
So, here we go again.
Okay.
You just won't give it up. You just won't give in to what I've been trying to explain to you from day one on this show. The Dallas Cowboys go as number 4
Stop
goes.
It.
They go as Dak Prescott goes. He is the heartbeat of this football team. He is the alpha. He is the leader. He is the driving force. And he has turned into one of the great playmakers in this league today.
Yeah, but I'm not arguing anything that you said, that he's the heartbeat, that he's the leader. Well, I'm not arguing that.
So let's look at what really happened here. When Russell Wilson and come, and I have the highest respect for Russell Wilson, because you want to talk about making plays. He made 3 throws in that game where I just sat back and said, that's just too good, you know? He made blind throws with blitzers right in his face, and he just threw rainbows to Doug Baldwin and then to Lockett a couple of times where I just said, that's just too good. But Dak Prescott was better. Dak Prescott outplayed Russell Wilson. Dak Prescott responded again and again and overcame Russell Wilson, because what happened in the third quarter, late in the third quarter, Russell Wilson drove them down, and finally, to your point, they went read option, keep. Twice, touchdown. There it was. And I was like, we can't stop that if they keep doing that. And what did Dak Prescott do? He responded once again because he is the leader of this football team, and they go 9 plays, 67 yards. And by the way, the signature play on that drive to get them into the red zone was 34 yards to Amari Cooper. So I don't know. He was dinking and dacking, but that was one.
Maybe
that was
the only one. But you did? Yeah. He threw a 10-yard route, and then all of a sudden he goes another 24 yards, and now it's a 34-yard completion. Okay, but it wasn't 34 yards air travel.
So that set up second and four at the 10-yard line. What has my team struggled with all year long? What has stymied them? Red zone scoring.
Sure. With touchdowns in the red zone. Yeah. They kick field goals, but you want touchdowns.
They kick field goals, but I'm talking about
touchdowns.
seven points in the red zone. So on second and four from the 10, what did the leader of my football team do? He audibles out of whatever the play call was, and I couldn't even believe this was the audible. This was the fallback play. This is. Do you remember the single wing? Because from my first days in Pop Warner football, those are the days of single wing football. Mm-hmm. He gets the ball snapped to him, and he runs a power sweep left with Zeke leading the way as his lead blocker, and he just basically runs through the whole Seattle defense to the half-yard line. That's just my quarterback saying, I'm going to do this. I'm going to wheel this ball into the end zone. I'll take it home. And it was a beautiful play. It took as soon as it was snapped to him and he took off, I was like, Lord have mercy. This is not going anywhere. And Dak Prescott just said, nope, you can't stop me. I'm going to power run through you because you know what? He is a grown ass man. That's how he plays football. And that's what happened on that play. Mm-hmm. And then what happened later in the game? What was the final nail in Seattle's coffin, even though it got a little shaky after that? But what happened on third and 14 from the 16?
You can't give that up.
Huh?
You can't give that up.
It's a quarterback draw because Scott Linehan finally pulled his hat out and did what I've been beating this desk for, run a quarterback draw. And Dak Prescott just basically goes right up the middle of the Seattle defense, and nobody can tackle him because he's a grown-ass man who's going to wheel the ball into the end
zone. They were scared.
Yeah, they look scared. I agree with you.
You know what, Skip? I think they thought they're approaching Dak like some of the other quarterbacks. They get someone get close to him, they're going to slide. Dak saw the end zone like, I'm not sliding. I'm going for it.
He's going to somersault. He's going to flip. He's going to helicopter as John Elway once did in a fateful Super Bowl that you played in
Correct.
And won against the Green Bay Packers. So I'm going to quote my man Lil Wayne. I'm texting back and forth on Saturday night with Lil Wayne, who's no Cowboy fan, trust me, because he's a big Green Bay Packer fan. And he's like you. He's a much bigger Zeke fan than a Dak fan. But we went back and forth a couple of texts. And this was his conclusive line, and I'm going to read it here because Lil Wayne is deep when it comes to sports. He's very insightful and profound. And he said about Dak Prescott, it's like he's playing for something more than everyone else on the team is playing for. That's how I feel when I watch him. Like, this is all guts, all heart. Like, whatever I have to do, if it's with my arm or my legs, I'm going to do that to win this game because I want this even more than anybody else on my football team wants it. Well, you can't quantify that intangible. That's just a winner's intangible. You either have that or you don't have that. And you played with guys who had it. I think you had it.
Yeah.
You just have it. And you can't coach it. You can't teach it. You can't develop it.
I think the thing Dak realizes, Skip, is that he plays the only position that a Super Bowl matters. If a wide receiver is on a team that wins the Super Bowl, they're not going to say they won the Super Bowl because of him.
Yep.
You win the Super Bowl, now unless it's a situation kind of like what we had in Baltimore or Brad Johnson with Tampa. For the most part, Skip, the quarterback's going to get the lion's share of the credit because he takes the snaps and he's going to have to make a throw. He's going to have to make decisions that either help or hinder his team ability to win that game.
Okay.
So Dak understands that, Skip, no matter what we think of him. And we can say, oh, it's Zeke. But if the Cowboys get two and they win the Super Bowl, Dak understands who's going to get the credit. Mm.
Well, does he? I don't think he cares who gets the
credit. No. But I'm just saying how the perception, how the view.
All right.
Skip, we look at Joe Flacco totally different because he won that one game.
Okay.
Joe Flacco's been terrible in the regular season. He's led the league in interception. And then now everybody, we're going to talk about him in a minute, clamoring for him. But because he won the Super Bowl, we look at him totally different had he not.
Okay, so Do I credit Zeke for Saturday night? Yes, I do, because he had 137 yards. But how did he get them? On one play, he goes for 44, and it's the weirdest play of the year for his run.
Yeah, because Griffin,
nobody's
26.
Nobody's home. Nobody's home.
He, 26, Griffin. I hate calling out players, Jenny, but I must in this situation.
Sometimes.
You have force. You are that. You cannot
where
let nobody.
Go? I don't even know where he went.
He's up. First of all, he's off the ball. And then he goes back to the middle. For what? You
know.
Are the force.
I don't know. I don't. Nobody is home.
Twice it happened.
Bounces it off right tackle.
What
right?
did he look?
I don't know. Nobody's home. He just runs.
When people say more games are lost as opposed to won, those are the type of plays that get you beat. Those are the kind of plays that get DB coaches fired. Those are the type of plays that get defensive mm-hmm. coordinators fired. You have a responsibility. You are the fourth element, which means okay. nothing is all to right. get outside.
Okay. You sound like an angry fan who
yeah, because
Seattle to win the game.
No, you know what I hate, Skip? Mm. Whether I pick someone in the middle and win or not, because I know they practice this.
I don't know what the defensive, what was the call? Yeah. What was his responsibility?
Well,
I don't know.
His responsibility is the force, which means
well,
he
are
is
you
not,
sure? Why would he just bolt into the middle of the field?
I'm willing to bet everything I own that he is the force element in that play.
Okay, mm. all right. So, then Zeke had one other run in that final nail in the coffin drive.
And again, he what happened?
And it was 17 yards, but he broke to the – he got free
again,
on the
right. Again, he's the fourth element.
And he also had a beautiful stiff arm, and it was just rare. It's just one of those plays where you say, that's just too good. It's like yeah, Ezekiel Elliott is all time.
If I got the fourth element,
mm-hmm.
if I force him to cut back inside,
yep.
I've done my job.
Yep.
I just can't let him get the edge. Mm-hmm. I don't care if he's stiff arm. I don't care if he disappears. But if you disappear, you're going to disappear in the middle.
Okay.
You're not going to disappear around the edge.
Okay. So this is why I wasn't blown away by Zeke's night, because he had a 44-yarder and a 17-yarder, and you say that it's really a breakdown in the defense.
Mm-hmm.
And if I take away those two runs, then he winds up with 76 yards on 24 other carries, and it's like 3 yards a carry.
But it's so a combination, Skip.
Okay, you just keep pounding. And
yes,
pounding, pounding,
yes.
Pounding.
Okay, and you hope that, and that's the thing, Skip.
Okay.
You keep pounding, and all of a sudden, someone's slow to get to their gap.
Yep.
Someone is slow to handle their responsibility. You see what happens? Now, yep. instead of a 3 yard where you stop them 3 yards, 3 yards, 3 yards, now someone doesn't play their responsibility, mm-hmm. it's 44.
Mm-hmm.
Someone doesn't play their responsibility, is 17.
Mm.
That's what you hope when you run the football, is that okay. it's a culmination, and then boom, you get what
okay.
you need.
And yes, you point out my defense. Does it get huge credit? But I told you on Friday when I made my prediction, this is a bad matchup for Seattle. They did lead the NFL in rushing. My defense does one thing really well. It will take the run away. It took away Drew Brees. It took away Kamara and, mm-hmm. and Mark Ingram.
Yes.
And it just flat out shut this down, because at halftime they had 22 rush yards,
yeah.
wound up with 73 for the game. And Chris Carson, who's a 1,000-yard rusher, he gets 13 carries for 20 yards. Really?
Right.
That's impossible.
Well, Skip, here's the thing. When you make that sort of concentrated effort mm-hmm. to take someone's run away, or you make that kind of concerted effort to take something away, you have to open yourself up for something else.
You do.
We're going to talk about the Ravens situation
okay.
when they played a fourth, they played seven defensive backs. Well, when you play that, Skip, you open yourself up for something else. Mm. Whether or not the opposing team can take advantage of what you've opened yourself up for is something entirely different.
So to me, the key reason this team plays the run so well is those two inside backers. They can just fly to the football. They wreak havoc at the line of scrimmage, because even if you think Chris Carson has a step, all of a sudden he doesn't have a step, and it's a one-yard gain.
Yeah, but
because somebody, Van Der Esch or Jalen Smith, is at his ankles pulling him down.
Yeah. Skip, early in the ball game, I think it was the first possession, it was 3rd and 2. And for what other reason, you're the number one running team in football. Skip, if they stop me at what I'm good at, I can live with that. But I'm not throwing the ball.
Mm.
Why would you throw the ball in that situation? Because now you convince the Cowboys, oh, they're scared to run the ball. It's 3rd and 2, and they won't go with their bread and butter.
Mm-hmm.
So now you got them thinking that mm-hmm. we took them out of what we know they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
They're afraid of us, guys. Let's keep eating. Let's mm-hmm. keep hunting. So now you got your hands full when you really shouldn't.
So I'm going to say this one last time about the man on the Dallas Cowboys. No quarterback in NFL history through his first 3 years has had a better completion percentage than Dak Prescott. No quarterback has more game-winning drives over the last 3 years than Dak Prescott has. No quarterback except the one in Foxborough has won more games over the last 3 years than Dak Prescott has, and now he's up to 33 wins in 3 years with his first playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
And that quarterback, Dak Prescott, threw for 300-plus and 3 touchdowns against Aaron Rodgers, but did not win his first playoff game, but he outplayed Russell Wilson in this game, 74-70 in QBR, and here we go.
If you don't mind me asking, you say Dak is the de facto. He's the most important. Why couldn't he do this in Zeke's absence when he missed six games last year?
Well, he played pretty well.
No. Playoffs. He got to the playoffs this year. I just need to know, if he's the guy without Zeke, why couldn't he do this?
Well, he didn't have him for six games, and they had the cloud of Zeke hanging over the team the whole time. And they had a horrendous backup left tackle at Atlanta who gave up eight sacks. So I don't know. This team is much better, obviously. It has more of its pieces in place.
Interesting.
But here he goes. 13 wins, 9 wins, 10 wins, plus a playoff win. I don't know, Jimmy.
Let's see. How many wins the first year? 13. Zeke led the league in rushing, 1,606. Second year, third year, NFC East, 10-6. Who led the league in rushing? There's a reoccurring theme here. Okay, they don't make the playoff. Zeke missed six games. There's a reoccurring theme here. I don't know if you can see it.
Well, my recurrent theme is, who's led all of football in game-winning drives in the fourth quarter and overtime? It's my quarterback. Does that not count? Do those not contribute to W's? Yes.
So
he did it again.
Okay, so what's the stat?
He did it again.
So if you don't mind me asking, Phil, so what's the stat when Dak throws for 300 yards? What's the percentage? Because this is what I know. When Zeke runs the ball for over 130, they're 10-0 in his career. Is Dak 10-0 when he throws for 300?
Maybe it's just coincidence that happened. I don't know.
Too many coincidences are not a coincidence.
Can he lead them on the road now, though? They've lost seven straight road
playoff games. Fair question.
Don't be surprised.
I like my chances.
Don't be surprised if y'all see me at the Rams game on the sideline with the Rams.
Yep.
With my Deacon Jones jersey.
You're going to throw rotten fruit at my quarterback from the sideline?
Yep. I feel like I could.
I might pull a Woody Hayes if he starts running.
No mercy.
So Philip Rivers and the Chargers struggled on offense against the Ravens yesterday, but they still got the win 23-17. Now they're a 4.5-point underdog on the road against Tom Brady and the Patriots. Brady has dominated in his career against Rivers, winning all seven of their matchups. Shannon, who's got the edge in this one, Chargers or Patriots?
I like the Chargers because I think they'll have better success moving the ball against this defense than they had against Baltimore. Now, they're dealing with a different animal on the other side of the ball and Tom Brady's ability to throw the football down the field. But I felt, looking at this game yesterday between San Diego and the Ravens, the way Phillip Rivers played this game and the way Ken Whisenhunt, the offensive coordinator, called this game, they knew if they didn't turn the football over, give up a pick six, scoop and score, the likelihood of the Ravens scoring enough points offensively was not very good. So the way Phillip threw the ball, he didn't take a whole lot of chances. He didn't put the ball in harm's way. And they felt they could come away with a win doing as minimal as possible. You take risk against this Baltimore's defense, they're going to normally make you pay one way or another. So, and Skip, you told me all year this is the worst defense that Coach Belichick's ever fielded.
Correct.
So, with that being said, would you think New England's defense is better than Baltimore?
No.
In any area?
No.
Stopping the run, pass rush, secondary?
No.
Now, maybe they have one individual player that's better than anybody that Baltimore has in their secondary, Gilmore. Not only did he make the Pro Bowl, he's a first-team All-Pro. But as a collection, I think the secondary of Baltimore is better than New England. Now, the question is, we know when you play the Patriots, especially at home in a playoff game, can you get to 28? Because I believe that's what it's going to probably take to beat Tom Brady in that building. Second, can you get to 28? Second, can you get Tom Brady off the spot? Now, Joey Bosa missed the first seven games of the season. He came back, had 5.5 sacks in the regular season. He got a sack yesterday. Melvin Ingram. So they can get pressure. The question is, can they collapse the pocket from the inside to force Tom Brady outside? Because, Tom, if you come around the edges, they'll just push you wide, and Tom will step up and throw the football. I believe the Chargers can have a lot of success, and we don't have to pick this game yet. But I did pick the Chargers to go to Super Bowl. So I'm just going to leave that right there.
So you're not going to back off, are you? You're not going to do a little moonwalk on this one?
And when you give me them 4.5 points, I'm going to get me some dew.
Really?
Yep.
4.5, not that many, actually. So Vegas is paying respect to Phillip Rivers and company,
right? That's true. As should you. But you've disrespected them. So you will pay dearly.
So I do congratulate you on your preseason pick of the Chargers because that was a good one. But my preseason pick was Tom Brady.
Your preseason pick was with chalk. Chalk.
Yeah.
You made the same pick for the AFC for chalk. The last 12 years.
Yeah. You know what? The rest of the team is made of chalk this year. That's right. The rest, it's the worst defense Belichick has ever fielded. It's the worst core of receivers that Tom Brady's ever gone into a playoff game with. What am I supposed to do with that except 41-year-old Tom Brady, and use that magic word again, as Eric Dickerson calls him, he's an old-ass man, right?
He is.
Old-ass man.
In football terms.
Yep. Okay, so which way am I leaning on this game? I am leaning heavily toward the old-ass man. That's what I'm doing because
– Surprise.
Let's see. Philip Rivers. I think I'm going to go with Tom Brady in Foxborough.
Sooner or later, Philip Rivers got to get a dud.
Really? Okay. So, Tom Brady, as Jenny points out, is 7-0 lifetime against Philip Rivers. Wow. That's 5-0 in the regular season, 2-0 at Foxborough.
The Patriots.
Correct. Oh, the Patriots.
Are 7-0 against San Diego. You see what you do? You see now? When Tom Brady wins, it's Tom Brady. When he loses, Coach Belichick is surrounding him with a horrible defense. Mm-hmm. It's the worst set of receivers Tom Brady has ever had. Mm-hmm. You see what he did, Jenny? Mm-hmm. Oh, Skip Bayless, I catch it. I catch it.
Mm-hmm. Well, now the proof is just going to be on the scoreboard on – is it Sunday? I can't remember.
This one?
Sunday,
right?
So I just want to know, when the Chargers win this game, who we blaming? Is it Coach Belichick? Is it Sonny Michel in the non-run game?
That's a hypothetical don't need to answer because it ain't happening.
It's happening.
Yep. So you know what I love about your Chargers? That they are 8-1 on the road now. 8-1.
Road Warriors.
Is that good?
That's the road dog.
That is really good. And the one game they lost on the road, quote unquote, was about a couple of miles away from where they play in Los Angeles because they lost to the Rams at the Coliseum. Yeah. So it wasn't even really sort of a road type game.
Can you understand why they like playing on the road? Do you see that home stadium?
I do. And I got that. And this is a loaded football team on paper, top to bottom. It's a much better team, except at quarterback. And Philip Rivers yesterday had a quiet game. And I will give you this. Mm-hmm. He played as clean a big game as I have ever seen Philip play. And to your point, if you throw it up for grabs against Baltimore, they will make you pay for it.
Absolutely.
And there were turnovers and there were long returns, but there wasn't an interception that was a game turner. So what did Philip Rivers wind up with? Not much. He threw for 160, 22 of 32 for 160 yards. You like that? Mm-mm. I mean, Dak and Dunk.
I do. I love that.
Dak and Dunk threw for only 226, but that's way better than 160, right?
So what do you think he'd have done against that defense?
Against who, Dallas?
Yeah, Dallas.
Well, he'd have a long day. It's hard, man.
What do you think Dak would have done against Baltimore's defense?
About the same.
Yeah.
About the same. Yeah, they'd be pretty – because they got Zeke, and Zeke would have run –
Whoa. No. I ain't talking about Zeke.
No.
I don't need to talk about Zeke. Why are we mentioning Zeke when we talk about Dak?
Because you always tell me that Zeke's the man.
He is. But now, all of a sudden, he goes against a stingy defense. You're like, oh, Zeke would have run the ball.
You want to talk about a rude awakening? You want to talk about a culture shock? How about going from Lamar Jackson to Tom Brady?
Yeah.
Woo!
How about going from
Are you saying what they did to Lamar Jackson got them ready for what they're about to encounter?
What a culture shock. Mm-hmm. Going from the number two ranked defense to going to the 20th ranked defense.
Yeah, it is.
It's, woo! How about this here? I bet Phillip Rivers has more than a buck 60 on Sunday.
Really?
Well,
against that defense?
Whoa.
That Blake Bortles threw for 373 against?
Oh.
That Matt Stafford threw a party against?
Well,
really?
Considering Tom Brady had three games of scoring 10 points, what they got to do with his defense?
Huh. Who's got the number two seed and sitting at home working on his delivery? He had the great Tom House, who resides here at USC. Yeah. He flew him in last week as his throwing doctor, his guru. He flew all the way to Foxborough just to be with Tom Brady because he works hard. He's going to clean up that delivery. He's going to have it perfect by the time Philip Rivers arrives.
Watch me closely. Mm-hmm. Watch me.
Yeah, I see.
This is my eyes to the left.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
It's my eyes to the right. Yep. Watch it go round and round.
A lot of action there.
Really? Skip Bayless, you made me sick. And Tom Brady, I'll tell you what, you know what?
Tom House fixed it. Whatever needed to get fixed, it got fixed. He flew all the way from Los Angeles to Foxborough.
I don't care if he flew out Eddie House. He going down on Sunday at 3:30. All the shouting going to be over.
Eddie House could really shoot
it. Yeah, he could shoot it.
Yeah. So he could shoot it in Boston.
All I'm saying is, Skip Bayless, you make it seem like, oh, and granted, Tom Brady is a very, very exotic animal mm-hmm. when it comes to Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. But the defenses are very different. Mm-hmm. And I believe, and Phillip Rivers knows, you can't play that concern. When you play the Patriots, you can't play not to lose. You have to play to win. And too many times, we see teams will get ahead of them. Even in their building, they mm-hmm. get up by 7. They get mm-hmm. up by 10. And all of a sudden, the play calling changed. Mm. I believe that's what happened to them last year when they played mm-hmm. Jacksonville.
Yep.
They got conservative with Blake Bortles. They get conservative. I believe Ken Whitenhunt and Phillip Rivers will keep the pedal to the metal, and they will spring.
Mm.
You call it an upset. I don't, because I saw
even
this
upset.
Thing coming. I saw it coming.
Well, so Phillip Rivers is now 5-5 lifetime in the playoffs, and he's nearing the end of the line, so the pressure mounts. And he should go up there and beat Tom Brady at 41.
You don't think no pressure's on Tom Brady? Because guess what? He has a bad playoff game. He's 41. Mm-hmm. What is everybody going to say, Skip? Mm-hmm. I told you, the end is here. Mm-hmm. He's stepping off the cliff. Hey, I'm just telling you, so the pressure is on Tom, too. Because guess who's charting? Mm-hmm. Oh, you all see Coach Belichick? Coach Belichick pulled that note card out right there. It's time to move on.
You know, I know for sure Tom Brady has eyes and ears who monitor this show and what you say about Tom Brady. Whatever. And it serves as huge motivation.
Well, I hope he's watching. Mm-hmm. And Coach Belichick got some guys watching. And Mr. Kraft, I know for certain, watching because he told me at the Hall of Fame.
Oh, great.
And he sent me a pair of shoes, too.
Yeah. Well, so he's okay. He's good with you.
Oh, Mr. Kraft, it's great.
Tom Brady didn't send you a pair of shoes.
Hold on a second. No.
I get it. I know how it works.
It goes for me, old Shea Sharp.
Yeah.
It's Mr. Kraft number one.
Yep.
Bill Coach Belichick number two.
Yeah.
And I like Tommy.
Tommy now.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Tommy is 19-3 at home in the playoffs.
He's taking this. He's about to be
20. So what
what's his record?
19-3.
Oh, he's about to be 19-4.
Really?
19-4.
You're up against
not four.
It.
I'm not so sure
It's going to be
that.
Fun watching you this week start to sweat over there. The more it starts to sink in, soak in, that –
it's
over. I'm picking against Tom Brady in Foxborough? Really?
It's over, Skip.
Yeah.
And I can just hear it right now.
Okay.
I gave my best, but I guess my best wasn't good enough.
Whew, okay.
So you are so convicted about this that let's just start off right now. I'll do two cases of due on Tom Brady right now, straight up.
No. Huh? We got time. It's Monday.
Well,
it's Monday.
You were so sold on your
I still am. I ain't going nowhere.
So you're just going to let that...
I am going to let that thing...
I just offered you...
Because I might, while you over there bumping, and you keep on poking the bear,
I might go
three cases.
Really?
And I might take no points. Okay. I might be willing to give you some points. You keep on bumping them.
Okay, I'll take 3 points.
You
in
keep
Foxborough.
On bumping them over
it's
there.
It's going to be quite the week.
Is that a deal?
We're going to see.
Done?
Yeah. You keep on bumping them gums over there.
I'm
scared, like a Phillip Rivers scared of Tom Brady.
Yeah.
He ain't scared.
You're scared of
no.
Tom Brady.
No. Old Melvin Ingram got some boys. Old Cap Bosa.
No mercy.
Okay, next up, the Chargers. Well, hey, they struggled on offense against the Ravens at times, but they still had a 20-point lead in the fourth quarter. Lamar Jackson was horrible in the first three quarters. And Ravens fans were calling for Joe Flacco, but Lamar let it come back with two touchdown passes to Michael Crabtree in the fourth to pull the Ravens within six. Baltimore got the ball one more time in the final minute, but Lamar was sacked and fumbled. The Chargers held on for the 23-17 win, and now they head to Foxborough. After the game, John Harbaugh talked about sticking with Lamar over Joe Flacco. Let's take a listen.
I can assure you we were considering, you know, putting Joe in the game and all that kind of stuff. That was part of the conversation. Certainly thought about it, certainly talked about it with everybody. And I can tell you this, it was everybody was on the same page with what we did, everybody, including Joe. I mean, Lamar's our quarterback going forward. There's no question about that. Joe Flacco is going to play really well in this league. Joe can still play. I think we saw that the first half of the season. Joe's going to have a market. There's going to be a lot of teams that are going to want Joe because they understand that. And I'll be in Joe's corner wherever he's at, you know, unless we play him.
No, you can't even go there, man. I thought Lamar did a great job of just hanging in there and, you know, and giving us a chance at the end. I just told him, listen, finish strong. At some point, you're going to be proud of how you finish, no matter what happens. This is all part of it, you know, is dealing with, you know, this situation right now.
All right, Shannon, should Harbaugh have made the change?
No. And listening to him talk immediately after the game lets me know Joe Flacco was never in the discussion.
Mm.
Jim
Harbaugh said that, but I'm with you. I don't think he
John was. Harbaugh said, Joe is going to play well in this league. Mm-hmm. Joe will have a market. Joe will play a lot of good football for someone, and I wish him well, except when he plays us. That does not sound like a head coach that ever considered putting Joe Flacco in this game. He said Lamar Jackson is his quarterback moving forward. He knew he would do more harm by removing Lamar Jackson than he would by leaving him in. So, Skip, I get it. Lamar was not playing well. If you think about it, what San Diego did, and I've never seen this before, they played with seven defensive backs.
Never seen
58 or 59 snaps. What that told me, Skip, is that they wanted to get guys on the field that can match Lamar Jackson's speed. So we're removing these linebackers, and we're going to put safeties, guys that can tackle, but they got speed to chase sideline to sideline. Now, what that means, Skip, and you have to give the defensive line of the Chargers a good job, because they did a good job of keeping those guards and centers off those little smallish players. Skip, I think you know what? What I've learned in having played this game, Skip, is that the farther removed the player gets, the better he looks to his fans. Because do they remember Joe Flacco once had a playoff game, Skip? He was 4 of 10 for 34 yards with an interception. They beat New England because they had 40 rush attempts for over 200 yards.
The Ray Rice game.
Yes.
Yeah.
But they forget that. They forget that when Joe Flacco got nicked, they were 4-5. They forget that Ozzie Newsome traded back into the first round to get Lamar Jackson. See, Joe Flacco could have made this a moot point. Normally, when quarterbacks are playing really well, they're not drafting quarterbacks in the first round, Skip. Now, last I checked, now you start to play bad. Oh, they're going to get your position. They're going to fill that position ASAP. Now, they really would have preferred, I believe, to have Lamar Jackson sit this entire season. But Joe Flacco started stinking it up. He got nicked. They put Lamar in. And you know, once they put Lamar in and they won, they were never going back to Joe Flacco. And they were never going back to Joe Flacco in this game, nor should they. Now, I get, Skip, with 9 minutes left in the ballgame in the fourth quarter, at that point, Lamar Jackson was 3 of 10, 25 yards, an interception, and 5 sacks. Can you imagine? Lamar Jackson, as elusive as he is, had 5 sacks. What do you think that statue Joe Flacco would have done against Ingram, against Bosa, against that relentless pressure that they were putting? So I agree 100% that he should have left Lamar Jackson in and the benefit long term. So now, I picked the Chargers, and I'm not saying this just because I picked them and they won. I just felt that where Lamar Jackson was this early in his career, throwing the football was not where it needed to be. And they would force him to throw the football because they're going to take that run away. Second time around, Skip, you see they had a game plan. The first time they tried to play him conventional. Second time around, I get a second crack at you. Okay, I see what you
wanted. You should credit your friend Anthony Lynn for that and Gus Bradley.
Gus Bradley.
Because that was
smart.
Brilliant.
Yes. Skip, we don't have linebackers that can run with this kid from sideline to sideline. We don't have anybody that can chase him down. So let's play.
Derwin James can.
So we're going to bring two more safeties on the field, and we're going to play like this. Okay, if you can throw the ball, so be it. But we don't believe you can. We believe you want to run the football. So I agree with John Harbaugh. I agree they should have stayed with Lamar, and this will be better because now he's like, you can't have a situation that every time he plays bad, you want to go to the backup. John Harbaugh was right, and I'm glad he stuck with it.
So I'm going to begin what I'm going to say by telling you or reminding you that before the year started, I said I would go with Lamar Jackson as the starting quarterback, and I know he's going to be a raw rookie. He's just better than Joe Flacco, as I call him, because Joe Flacco in regular seasons had missed 6 of the last 7 playoffs since he got all of his money from winning that one Super Bowl. And yet I cannot take away what happens in the playoffs to Joe Flacco, because despite the one bad game that he had, he's 10-5 in the playoffs, 25 touchdowns to 10 interceptions. That's like Hall of Fame numbers, right?
Yes.
Not that he's ever going to make even sniff the Hall of Fame, but I don't know. Would he ever get on a ballot? I don't know.
Maybe. No, because here's the thing, Skip. Now, if he had put up those numbers in the regular season, he might be a serious Hall of Fame contender. Yeah.
But I am also here to admit, because you can just read my tweets, when it got so bad for Lamar Jackson, it got so bad early in the fourth quarter, to your point, there's 9 minutes left in the game, so he has played 3 1/3 quarters.
Okay?
And I'm going to reiterate your stats. 3 of 10 for 25 yards with 5 sacks and an interception and no touchdowns. So that's I don't know if in NFL history you could find much worse numbers than that for that long of playing in one football game.
Well, Joe Flacco had those numbers for an entire game. He was 4-10 for 34 in an interception.
34, so he's a little better.
He was 9 yards better.
Okay. All right. But, again, they were losing the football game at that point, 23-10. So I tweeted, at that point, I would have given Flacco a chance just to put Lamar out of his rookie misery, because you know and I know sometimes a kid just gets off wrong in a football game, especially at that position, and it just it goes from bad to worse, and it looked like it was going to worse for me.
Right.
So I wanted him protected, get him out of harm's way, because it looked like it was going to only get worse and worse at that point. And because Flacco does have 25 touchdown passes in the postseason, I said, why not just give him a chance? This is desperation. You're down 20 points. Let's see if he could throw you back into the football game. I agree with you. It's more likely he would have been sacked three more times, four more times. Mm-hmm. But I was wrong about my tweet, because to Lamar Jackson's credit, to credit of his deep football character that he has displayed all year, he really bounced back, because from that point on, again, you can say they kind of backed off their defensive.
They did, yeah.
You know. But he goes 11 of 19 for 169 yards the rest of the last 9 minutes of the game with two touchdown passes. Well, that's sensational.
Right. Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you're back sort of in the football game, where with, what was it, 45 seconds left, you get the football back. 45 seconds left, you're first and 10, you're 34, and he completes another ball to University of Oklahoma's Mark Andrews, another rookie, and that's for 13 yards, and now you got first and 10 at the 47, you spike it, and then, unfortunately, Melvin Ingram happened one more time, and he gets strip-sacked, and that's the end of the game.
Right.
But he was in position at 23-17 down to actually pull off a miracle comeback.
Yep.
So here's what I thought from John Harbaugh's body language during the game and from what he said afterwards. I believe Ozzie Newsome, or maybe all the way up to Steve Bisciotti, I think they read the Riot Act last week and said, really? We do not want Lamar pulled for any reason.
Oh, no. Huh.
Because remember, John Harbaugh at heart is a Flacco guy.
Yeah, came
he won
together.
A Super Bowl.
Yeah, they came in together.
Okay, okay. So, you know, in his heart, it's tugging on him. Give Joe a shot. Give Joe a shot. I believe he had been ordered. You can't, unless Lamar gets hurt.
Right. Bar an injury. That was the only way.
On performance, you cannot make the switch. Because if you make the switch, you reopen the can of worms. To your point, they have cut bait with Joe Flacco, which is why John Harbaugh was very comfortable saying after the game, there's going to be a market.
Think about that, Skip. After the game, normally your coaches are more diplomatic.
Yeah.
You know, we love to have Joe, but no good way to back it by. Joe ain't coming back here. We'd love to have Joe back. Joe has won a lot of games. So, they, you know, coaches give you coach speak.
Yeah.
And so it's, oh, man, I don't know. You know, you hear him talk. I don't know, man.
That wasn't
John Harbaugh. No.
That was we have moved on.
I was trying to help Joe, him, too.
Yeah.
John Harbaugh is on the other end of Twitter with a burner account. He got a burner account. Said, oh, Joe got a lot of good football. Joe's not here.
Wow.
Because guess what, Skip? There's an injury thick clause in Joe Flacco's contract. He get injured, they probably go be on the hook for about 20 plus million.
That's another
and Baltimore said, we're moving on.
So when it got really dire and desperate, 9 minutes left in the game, a lot of fans in the first few rows were booing young Lamar.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Smith, the cornerback, went over and was chastising them, scolding them, saying, hey, he's the reason we got this far.
Thank you.
He should have won seven games because he had Kansas City
24-17,
but he did win 6 out of 7 to get them this far. So God bless him. I'm glad he bounced back. That'll bode well for him going into next year.
And they've been in playoff mode, Skip. Because think about it. They had to basically win all their games because Pittsburgh had built what we thought was an insurmountable lead. Ooh. Everybody, Pittsburgh winning this division. Pittsburgh trying to get, because at one point they're 7-2-1. They're in the running for getting one of those first two byes. Now all of a sudden, this kid gets in there, and Marty Morningweeks credit, John Harbaugh, they put him in a system where he can benefit.
Yep.
Yeah, it's college-esque. Yes, it's high school and playground.
Mm-hmm.
But, Skip, we're trying to win games. Mm. So instead of trying to bang, let him run Joe Flacco's offense, let's let him run what he's comfortable. Mm. And we're going to build upon that. Now, guess what? They get Lamar Jackson's undivided attention. Now, you see Lamar? You're going to have to get better at throwing the football. Running is fine. We don't want to inhibit you from running the football. But if you can't throw in this league, you can't survive.
Like, we know what he can do.
Yeah. Build upon that.
I would agree. But he showed me he can run it and stay pretty healthy.
Yes.
His survival instinct.
But early in the game, Skip, I thought he took a shot that was unnecessary. He was running on the left sideline. He was running. He could have just got on out of bounds. He had already picked up 50.
I know exactly the play you're talking about. But the DBs are still a little queasy about really striking him. Yeah, like really.
Going to get up out of bounds now.
And he's young, guys. It's his 22nd birthday today, actually.
Youngest quarterback ever to start in the Super Bowl era.
You're right. So, I mean, 22 years old. This is just the beginning.
Because think about it, Skip. There are very few quarterbacks that make the playoffs their rookie year, let alone play well in their first playoff game.
That's a good point. And he got them to that point.
So now the Chargers get to go up to Foxborough and lose. No
mercy. Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then. Fox Sports, one of one.